Good family day, good family day morning, and welcome to the Time Machine with Helm to Own Eagle FM, where we use history to prove a point. It's mostly a sarcastic point, but it's a point nonetheless. Wherever you find yourself, I hope you're surrounded by family, because today is a family day, and a family day, not to be confused, of course, with a international family day, which is a whole different date. I'll be dedicated to the same cause, and that is preserving and prioritizing family. And it's important. It's family is the building block of society. You take family out of the equation, every society crumbles. You take family out of the equation, well, every society is bound to is bound to crumble. That's why one of the most famous African proverb that was been quoted by, is that Hillary Clinton? I don't know, that lady was somewhat obsessed with that quote. It takes a village to raise a child. That's one of those quotes that resonates a lot with me as an African child, like literally. Because growing up, I knew that if I missed, if I didn't go to school, my parents are not the only people I have to worry about. I have to worry about every elder in the village. I knew that if it's, they know exactly what time school, what time school starts and what time it ends. So in between those, especially in the morning hours from 8 to somewhere around 12, 1 there. So growing up, I knew that if I don't go to school, I better find a very good hiding spot where not only my parents, but no one must see me. No one. Because any elder in a village seeing you missing school equals to your parents seeing you missing school. And one thing that's worse about that is the elder that will run into you missing school is going to massage you in an African way, with a sandal mostly, or just Mother Nature's punishment tool. Corporal punishment tool, aka stick. And what's worse is they are, after they do that, they are going to tell your parents, and you think they'll be like, no, she or he have been punished enough. I'm sure she or he have learned his or her lesson. Nope. They'll be like, oh, really? What did you do to him after he found out that he missed the class? Or he missed the whole school day? And you can imagine the elder here will be going, I just slapped the daylight out of him. And your parents will be like, good, good. Now, don't worry. That was introduction to slapping. We're going to do since we are the original owners, we are the one that completed all the paperwork and handed them over to the big guy upstairs for him to bless us with you. We have the right. It's our painful duty as parents to actually give you some pain every time you screw up. Those good old days. And then human rights came. Whew, thank God. But even if it wasn't for human rights, they said this is one thing that has been universally observed about parents. I have a brother. He just turned 18. He's one of the spoiled guys on the planet. Now, every time I look at my parents, I always go like, who raised this guy? Because the parents that raised me would never have raised that guy. Then because his homeboy is always screwing up left, right, and center. And some of the screw up he's screwing up, I never would have thought of doing. I never would have thought of doing, because that would have meant my demise. And then I'm reminded again that I'm a firstborn. And then I'm reminded again that every firstborn is an experiment of how to raise a child. A moment of silence to those of us that are firstborns. Guys, we were the experiments. Our parents had no clue what they were doing. They have seen kids with other couples and they admired, they thought of having one someday. But they were just looking at those cute toothless smiles. Like, that's one thing about babies. Babies are the only creatures on the planet that can pull off a beautiful toothless smile. If you are an adult and you lose all your teeth and you try to smile, my God, you're going to traumatize people. But babies can pull that off flawlessly. Adults, if you lose your teeth, forget losing all it. Just lose one and try to smile. Make we see. Commercial break.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. Now, where was I? The parents, firstborns, we were the experiments on how to raise a child, which is why I swear it's like, I think it's every family. Every family has a firstborn who was raised by two dictators. And every lastborn has the family. Every firstborn was raised by two dictators. One of them mostly worse than the other. It's either the wife or the husband. It's either the mother or the father. One of these goes really, really, really goes full Mobutu Sese Seko on you. Then the other goes somewhat a little bit one goes Mobutu Sese Seko on you. One goes Sani Abacha. One is always worse than the other. But bottom line, they're both dictators. Every firstborn can tell that story. And then, with time, they lose their dictatorship touch. By the time that they get to the lastborn, they raise the worst, lastborns, but you guys are spoiled as heck. In comparison to what we went through is, how do I put this? If I was to use a political comparison for this, look at firstborns as the plane fighters, those ones that were born and raised during the liberation struggle. Those are the firstborns. And then those of us that are born after the 90s, those of us that are called born frees, we are the lastborns for this, motherland, Namibia. Like, Namibia is spoiling us rotten. We don't even know, like, what we call struggle. The people that lived during the liberation struggle look at us and go like, you think the internet going off is a struggle? Because let's face it, but now for us, the internet going off, your phone running low and you can't find a charger, my God, that's a struggle. So those that lived during the liberation struggle look at us and go like, oh my God, what you guys are calling a struggle? That's what we called leisure. A real struggle is when you are walking 30 kilometers and I'm like, yeah, about that. 30 kilometers of walking, 70, 100 kilometers of walking, with a bunch of weapons strapped to your back. For one, guys, don't blame us. There are certain things that you have to live through to totally understand. And because we have not lived through that, you can spend a lot of time telling us that. You can give us a bunch of documentaries to watch. We just can't relate. It's the same thing I keep pointing out about men and women. Men and women are the same. No, we're not. I know this is the one of those things that makes a feminist go bananas. I have to say this for the millionth time. I don't care what you say. Men and women are not the same. That statement is 50% true and 50% false. And I know someone out there is going, oh, we are the same. Again, that statement is 50% true and 50% false. Make I explain. Look at it this way. Men and women are the same in a way that we both have two legs, 32 teeth, assuming you didn't lose some of it in a bar fight. We are all the same in a way that we all eat and sleep and do a lot of general things. Things that are general to human beings. We are the same in that way too. But we are still, we are the same in that way, but we are also different. We are different in a way that I will never find out how it feels to be pregnant. It's a man thing. I'll never find out. I know. Men can also fall pregnant. I found one magazine on that. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. There was one woman that decided to identify as a man and then took a bunch of hormones and then grew a beard and then ended up falling pregnant. And then it was like, voila, men fell pregnant. And I was like, yeah. Where are they going to get it? That's a thing, Bukushi, for you are not going to fool me. That's how do I put this? That to me sounded, you're going to have to forgive me on this one, but I really have to cook you guys. Actually, screw that whole forgiveness thing. Just laugh and move on. That to me is like, it's like Bill Gates leaving all his money behind and then living in a kabashu for 2 minutes and then telling everyone that, you see, this whole poor thing is not very difficult. I mean, after all, I've just lived 2 days as a poor person and I'm not suffering. And then everyone will be like, yeah, but you live in a kabashu, right? But for one, everyone knows you're a billionaire. Two, that kambashu is just the kambashu inside. It's just the kambashu outside. Do you think Bill Gates' kambashu is going to look like yours? It's just the kambashu outside, but inside there's a shower, there's hot water, there's state of the art kitchen. Everyone will be like, yeah, we can see it's the kambashu inside, but we know deep inside it's a billionaire's house. Anyway, back to family, since it's a family day. When they say family, every family has one, what does this statement mean? That's something that I spent a great deal of yesterday thinking, right? What does that statement mean? Every family has one. What they mean is every family has a troublemaker, which I find fascinating though, because, every time that you meet the love of your life and you have to introduce them to your family, this is if you are black. If you are white, you just meet them today, introduce them to your family tomorrow. Hey, that's something that I look at and go like, hey, culture shock of my life. Oh, hey, yeah, yep, culture shock of my life. Let's meet my family. I'm like, huh? We have to. We just met last week. I know. So that when I'm with you, they must know where I am. Like, are we getting married? And she was like, no, not really. You are just meeting my family. Huh? So this happens. And she was like, yeah. It does. Like, okay. So how do I introduce, how are you going to introduce me again? It's my boyfriend. And I'm like, yeah. And everyone's going to be okay with that. And I was like, yeah, there'll be a little bit of tension here and there, but, it's not a big deal. When are you introducing me to your family? I'm like, yeah, no, yeah, about that. Not happening. You see, the thing about your culture and mine is that, we can just casually show up at your place and you will go like, this is Helmut, he's my boyfriend. And, everyone will be okay with that. Well, in my culture, if I show up there with you, how do I put this? In a black culture, we don't have this whole, especially when it comes to parents, this whole thing called boyfriend doesn't really exist. The moment you show up there, is straight wife. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, so this is her. Right, now, where are the kettle? For the lobola. Last thing about a black culture. You show up there with someone's daughter, like, just straight, okay, so that's your wife. Like, see, the whole concept of boyfriend is not very African. When you show up there, husband or wife, straight to the point. In other culture, it turns out you can show up and say, this is my boyfriend. I was like, oh, so what happened to Jake? And I'm like, who the heck is Jake? Like, I know it's just my ex. A very casual conversation. The comedian part of me wants to laugh, but the Kavango part of me is shocked to death. Like, okay. Right. So, this is normal for you guys. Like, what do you mean it's normal? I mean, it's normal for everyone. I don't know. Believe me, it's not normal. I'm shocked for a reason. It's not normal for me. It's not. Like I pointed out earlier, if I show up with you at my parents' place, they don't have the word vocabulary. I mean, they don't have the word boyfriend in their vocabulary. They don't have the word vocabulary in their boyfriend. No, that doesn't make sense. They don't, the first one. They don't have the word boyfriend in the vocabulary. They will just go straight to husband or wife. And like, for me, because I'm a guy, you just go straight to, oh, is that so this is your wife. Just straight to wife. The word boyfriend is not in an African parent's vocabulary. Yeah. Welcome to Africa. We're not broken. It's just a different culture, different part of the world, different way of doing things. We're not broken. We're fine like that. This is my boyfriend. Hey, ha. And you're even talking to your father. World War III go start. Like, chop. Believe me. So, when it comes to family, it's something to appreciate. And every family has one. Like a troublemaker. It's mostly like a drunken, every family has two polar opposite members. They have, especially this time of the year, they have that auntie that will bend over backwards to make sure that everyone has a good time at family gatherings. And there's almost always that, it's more often like an uncle who will just come there and reverse in like 2 minutes. Reverse what that hard-working auntie spent the whole year putting together. Now, none of them actually is less important. They are both important. The auntie is a very caring one. She's going to put everything together for to make sure that everyone is accounted for, who's allergic to what, especially those ones that are coming to urban areas. You know, this one doesn't eat mutete because they can't even pronounce mutete. They say morere with an American accent, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, she's a logistical expert. And then you have, the complete opposite of that auntie. It's more often a uncle who 90% of the time shows up to family events drunk and ruins everything. I said they are both important because usually during said times, those are the memories of how this uncle ruined everything and how that auntie wanted to punch the daylight of that uncle. Those are the good memories that families talk about. Like bad memories usually minus funerals, of course. What's called bad memories usually, really said at that time. But, 2-3 years down the line, they become some of the most memorable moments. You remember when uncle, remember when auntie so-so-so, prepared this very nice bucket of, oshikundo or ipwera. It was well fermented, very, and Uncle Soso came in and just, just tipped it, over and the whole thing went pouring down the, down on the ground. And my God, she was so pissed. And all of a sudden everyone is laughing. But when it's happening, everyone wants to kill everyone. You know. You know, you donate money to, you donate money for a family event, and that uncle decides to use that money to take his lay queen for a trip somewhere in Zanzibar, leaving the wife with in-laws here at home. Now the wife is angry, the in-laws are angry, homeboy is there having a blast. And he comes back, the wife wants to kill homeboy, the husband wants to kill homeboy, actually, at this point, the wife wants to kill both homeboy and the Kamboroto. But anyway, what you begin to see here is, that's going to be a very sad moment. But 2-3 years down the line, it's going to be a very memorable moment that will make everyone laugh. It's called family.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Oh, welcome back. 2 minutes past the hour of 8. If you just tuned in, this is the Time Machine with Helmut on Eagle FM. And today's family day. Today's family day. So not International Family Day, just Family Day. Two main structures of a family is you have extended and nuclear family. And a lot of experts actually, are divided on this. And extended family is what is often considered the traditional way of, the traditional form of family, or more like a structure of a family, where you have a very big family of mother, father, firstborn, or straight up to the lastborn, and they're surrounded by aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews, grandparents. In a lot of developed countries, the family structure that is most common, especially in the in most parts of the rural areas, is the extended family. They both have their pros and cons. Extended family is a big family. Now, this is why, I think extended family is the reason why the whole, how do I put this, funeral cover did not exist in Africa. Funeral cover. Like for what? If happened, if something happened to you right now, who is going to bury you? I'm black. Like, I have an extended family. Who do you think buried who before the existence of funeral cover? Sorry, insurance guys. I'm gonna have to throw you under the bus on this one. So, things like funeral cover only make sense for what? Nuclear families. Nuclear families are very common in developed countries. Because it's something that came up, post the Industrial Revolution. Because, which makes a lot of sense, because Industrial Revolution meant, industrialization. And that means, that marked a shift from agrarian society to a skill-based industrial one, where you are mostly dependent on working for a factory for you to provide for a family, as opposed to a traditional way of feeding a family that required hunting and farming. So, what then that meant is that, if you are going to work for a factory, you are going to move a lot. Now, extended family is very, nuclear family is perfect for a post-agrarian society, one that is surviving on a skills-based economy, where you are where you are constantly having to move in order to, you know, for you to, you know, to keep up with the demands of your company, where your job takes you, basically. Take, for example, just picture yours truly here, Helmut. Eagle FM has, we have 14 regions, and Eagle FM has a radio station in all the 14 regions. Now, and I'm required to move from, from Rundu to Windhoek, and then, 2-3 years down the line, I'm also, my boss is like, okay, I think you'll, we need you in Kitmansuop. So, we need you to run a station in Kitmansuop. So, I move to Kitmansuop, and 2-3 years down the line, we need you somewhere in Hobabis. Now, this constant moving, it's almost, if not borderline impossible to do with an extended family. Ask yourself what you do career-wise. What you do for a living. By that I mean a job. Write down a list of all the members of your extended family. Picture yourself moving with them. Every time that your company tells you to move to a different branch, in a different region. And also ask yourself, how many family members do you have that are working in different town, are working in different towns? How the heck were you supposed to move with those? Nuclear family is very easy to, move around with depending on what your job demands. Extended family, yeah, good luck convincing my uncle to come to Windhoek. First of all, he's one of my oldest uncles. One thing he doesn't like is escalators. Nope. That also includes my dad, though, by the way. Escalators, not a huge fan. A staircase. He would take a staircase over escalators or elevators anytime. There's a shopping mall in Rundu. We went there one day. But the good thing is most of the shops are on the ground floor, and on the first floor is just mostly a bunch of pharmacies. So one question he asked me was like, what is it that's up there that I can't find here? That was just me making fun of him. Like, I know he, now this is my dad. I know he's scared of escalators. So I'm like, so Oga, you gonna come with me upstairs? I was like, nope. And then he asked me that, what is it that's up there that I can find down here? Like, always telling me, face your fears, be a man, grow up, and you are here afraid of a staircase that can move. See your life. Now, everyone who is black knows that you can't say things like see your life to your father unless you want to wake up in a coma. It's a black thing, you won't understand, if you're not black. So, one, every family has one. That family party destroyer. And two, every family has one. That family party organizer. It's mostly like an auntie. Family party organizer. Family party destroyer is mostly like an uncle. And then you have siblings, you have niece and aunt, you have niece and nephews getting on each other's nerves. I don't know, for some reason, family is like, when you come together as a family, it's almost, there's a lot of constant fighting. And, you're just traversing in between two extremes. You're constantly laughing, and when that laughing ends, constantly fighting. Ouch. So one of the main difference in terms of advantages and disadvantages between extended and nuclear family is that for a nuclear family, it's easy to move around with in an industrial world. It's very easy to move around with. Take your diplomats, for example, that were just recently appointed by the president, and they were given different assignments in different countries that they had to, that have diplomatic relations with us. They had embassies. Now, part of being a diplomat or an ambassador is that most of the expenses that sustains you when you are at that embassy is dependent on the state. Now, imagine a typical African extended family. You are from an African extended family. Because we don't want to, you know, we want to maintain the extended family structure. We now have to make sure that everyone that's moving, they move with their whole family so that they don't feel alone. Un momento.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Back to family. Now I'm going to use dive in a little bit deeper in this whole family discussion. First of all, everyone knows family is important because unlike tigers, we are social creatures. We can't survive solo. Like if you want a person to go nuts, unless they are a psychopath, surviving solo is not what we do best. There are not a lot of people that can actually survive solo. No matter how annoying the people around you are, you need them from time to time. So, let's go through some of the things. I have a list of about 60 things, thanks to Cambridge University. 60 things you didn't know about family. But, we'll just try to bring this on, but before that commercial break.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida. Ashike kapeno nwe kutete opo uye.
Lipurane ingeno wapungwa eva tere, just get a family and then, eva tere will be there. A little bit of a headache, but also eva tere will be part of it. I think I should give advice for a living. I'm beginning to sense that I'm I'm good at it. Really, really good. Well, I have to congratulate me since you guys don't want to do it. So, let's start by defining terms. What is a family? Well, according to Encyclopedia Colonizer, a family is a group of persons united by ties of marriage, blood, or adoption. A family is defined by a group of people that are connected or united or related by either by blood, aka siblings that are from same parents, siblings that are from same parents, or either by marriage, you know, that's also a family. You just met someone and then, you know, butterflies, you get married and start having kids. Well, that's a family. Or both of you now, unfortunately, you are having trouble conceiving because maybe, you know, homeboy is firing blanks. That, which happens naturally. Sometimes it's not your fault or her fault. It happens naturally in a lot of people, especially those ones that are trying so hard to conceive, to have a child. They often struggle. And then you have teenagers in high school that are just trying to have fun. Yo! Ah! Pregnancy kicking in just like that. Oh boy. Now, which actually makes a lot of sense because, from the time that, let me just say from 13, 15-ish, how to put this, from the, let's just be like, on average from 15, not actually 15, let's say, from, because there's no standard age of, where the body changes into that, it changes from, what I think a juvenile, juvenile is also the wrong way to use. There's no exact time or more like a age where the, where the body becomes mature enough for reproduction. But when that age is reached, like everything else, it gets more on like everything else, the law of thermodynamics begins to apply. That with time it loses it loses its strength. Okay, that's a poor choice of words. But if you're a guy, you understand that better. What happens is that the fertility of someone, unfortunately, someone is more fertile when they are under 20, and the older they grow, especially 21, 22. Let me just say, under 25, your fertility is really, really through the roof. But the older you grow, the more that fertility declines. Again, you're not broken. It's not something that is not something to be said about. It's just something to understand that that's how Mother Nature works. There are certain things that you were doing in terms of strength in your teens that you can't do now. Like there are certain body postures that I was twisting my body in when I was a kid that I can do now because my bones are just too rigid for that now. So, unless you become a gymnast, then you'll be constantly doing it, then your body will be like, okay, you know what? Your body will basically used to all those twisting and bending and contortions and all that stuff. Again, you're not broken. It's just the law of thermodynamics. Things have a way of gravitating towards chaos than they do to... the things don't gravitate towards order. They gravitate towards chaos, unfortunately. Translation, if you make your bedroom and go on a trip, when you come back, you'll have dust to clean. Yeah. You'll find spider webs and everywhere and all that. If you leave a house unattended to for an extended period of time, it's not going to renovate itself and look more sparkling with time. No. Nope. It's just going to go down the decay scale, or more like down the decay train. A train. So. Family is not only family members are, your family members are not only those ones that are tied to you by blood, or those are not only those ones that you are related by blood, but also those ones that you are related via adoption, and those ones that you are, you know, they are legal relations. Marriage is one of those, you know, legal relations. I'm afraid Mjolo is not covered in this one. Legal relations. When you are married legally, you become a family. And then blood relations. You start having kids. Those kids are part of the family. Both by legal relations and blood relations. And if you, you are not, you know, if you can't have kids for biological reasons or maybe just by choice and you choose to adopt, that adoption also, you know, once it's legalized, it's part of the legal family ties. You are legally, you are related by by legal documents or legal, by constitution, you are related. Not just by blood. But regardless, getting on each other's nerves is part of any family, whether related by blood or you are just legal by, you are related by, you have blood or legal relations. Getting on each other's nerves is every family, is in every family. It's not just yours. Now, this is something that I find very interesting because one of the reasons, just realizing I haven't done that. Oh boy. I think one of the, every time you think of introducing your boyfriend or your husband to be, not boyfriend, don't do that stuff with Africans. Your husband to be or wife to be to your parents, you are mostly worried that, oh my God, these guys are going to embarrass me now. You'll constantly be worried about that. Take, for example, if I was to take my girlfriend to meet my family, I would be there like, oh my God, this one is about to do something stupid to embarrass me in front of my girlfriend. And, reverse the situation where I now have to meet her family. She will have the same worry. You'll be like, oh boy, now these are these are weapons formed against me. That's how family should be defined. Family is, is a two-legged, 32-teeth, two-armed weapons formed against you. That's family. Huh. That's an excellent definition. I'm so proud I came up with that. Now, family is defined here on the time machine as a 32-teeth, two-legged, two-armed weapons formed against you. That's family. Very nice weapons formed against you. They are formed against you, but still, you know. Now, where are we? A group of persons united by ties of marriage, blood, or adoption, constituting a single household or interacting with each other in their respective social positions, usually those of spouses, parents, and children, and siblings. That's family. Family groups should be distinguished from a household, which may include boarders and roomers sharing a common residence. This is gossiping fast and furious, guys. For family, no, you just met. I mean, you are homies. I think now that's according to the British, not me. Turns out, if you are sharing a flat. According to Encyclopedia Colonizer, you are not family. You are just homies. That's painful. And then you come across, people that say that you'll meet total strangers that will treat you nicer than your family members, which I actually don't agree with. I don't agree with that. I think family will treat you nice, and strangers will also treat you nice, just at different time intervals. When you are alive, for example, most family members are serious pain in your back. That's, shouldn't have said that, sorry. Just carried away, but still no excuse. I want to laugh, but that's very unprofessional. Sorry. It's when the sarcasm just take over and I can't breathe. Now, a lot of family members, when you are alive, there is serious pain in your neck. Should have gone with that. Yeah. Serious pain in your neck. But total strangers are, a lot of total strangers will be, this is when you meet total strangers and they are very nice to you and you're like, oh my God, a stranger is being nice to me. I wish all my family members are like that. No, everyone, they all have their time to shine in your life. When you are alive, total strangers, that's their time to shine in your life. As soon as you die, that's a family's time to shine in your life. When you die, that's when they now write poems that are better than the ones of Shakespeare. When they're standing next to your casket and you can't hear a thing, nor see a thing, that's when they'll be like, he was so young. We had a very good time. The whole time that you thought that they were being mean to you, it turns out that's a family way of having a good time. That's the one they will be like, remember this time that I kicked him in the neck? He was so angry. Oh my God, that was funny. That's a family way of having a problem. That's a family way of having fun. There was this time that we were eating. There were two pieces of chicken on the plate. There was a wing and a drumstick. And he was going for a drumstick, but I got it first and I swallowed the whole thing. I swallowed it whole. And he was so angry. And all of a sudden, that's one thing that's very mean about family. When that story will be told about how they were getting on your nerves when you're still alive, they'll all be smiling. It's like, yeah, he was very angry. And they would all be laughing. But the thing is, the good thing, I mean, I totally understand why they do that, because, well, you're going to be dead, so you're not going to be hearing any of it. Yeah. Everyone in your life has their time to shine. Strangers have a time to, their time to shine is when you are alive. They will do a lot of nice things for you because they are also anticipating you to do nice things for them. Family members, their time to shine is when you die. That's when they write poems. That's when they buy flowers. Or they contribute a lot of money, buy a cow for your family. Actually, this whole thing of waiting for someone to die before buying a cow for meat, that's the most selfish thing you can do. Like you are not doing that for me. You like to tell yourself that you are doing that for me, but you are not doing that. You are doing it for you because I'm not eating any of that meat. Like, that's so not fair. That's so not fair. That's one of those things that makes me wish, there were signs that shows that you are about to die, so that I can just say, well, I think it's a Wednesday next week. Now, here's the thing, which cow? Actually, I'm choosing. If I'm dying, I'm choosing a cow that we are slaughtering for my funeral. That one. Definitely the fat one. Yeah, that one. Turns out you can say that about cows, not people. No one goes around saying, that thick cow, that one. Really? Yeah, thick cow, that fat one. No sense. Now, that fat cow. Yeah, let's slaughter that one. And, as the owner of the funeral, I would like to eat the most of that meat. And your family members, you just tell them, and then they start doing the things that they would do if you were dead by running to cash loans, borrowing money, and then, arrange all this funeral. And then we just enjoy my funeral, and then I die, then you guys can take care of the burying and stuff. Hey, and imagine going through that hassle and homeboy is not dying. Hey, knowing my family members, they'll be like, okay, now at this point, they may as well just kill you because, well, what's the point? if there's a date that is set out for you to die, and then you don't die, and people are already drowning in debt while trying to get money, to borrow money for a family, for a funeral. Hey. Knowing family members, I think they will kill you so that you could, you know, just to get it out of the way. To get you and it out of the way. So, total strangers and family members, they both have their time to shine. Strangers' time to shine is when you're alive. Relatives' time to shine is when you die. So stop complaining that, strangers treat me better than my family. Their time will come. Their time will come. Don't worry. The thing is, you have to die first, unfortunately, for family to go around, to go around borrowing money for a funeral. They won't borrow money for you to start a business, but for your funeral, you bet. And I always ask myself, why is that the case? It turns out there's a perfect explanation. I found the explanation so you don't have to go around looking for it. Most of the family members are lazy. They don't want to work. So every time they hear that someone died at the village, they will use that as an excuse to get themselves a sick leave. Like, you know what? I'm not feeling very well. This uncle of mine I have never spoken to in 50 years have died. We were very close. You haven't spoken to him in 50 years. I know. We're close spiritually. See your life. We were very close. So now I'm going to go to his funeral with my girlfriend. And then homeboy hires a car and is driving south. I thought you were from Kavango. Yes, I am. Why are you driving south in a car that is having a lot of camping gear on top? The funeral is taking place in the south. For a guy that died in Kavango, yeah, that's where the burial is taking place. He has Damara friends. They love him very much, so they wanted him to be buried in the south. Yeah, you know, very sad moment, very sad moment. Boro is taking his Gamboroto on vacation, using your funeral as an excuse. Family members can be very mean. But then again, they would be, siblings. One easiest way of telling that people are siblings is how they get on each other's nerves. Growing up, I remember the people I fought with the most are my siblings. And then you grow up and start respecting each other. Right now, my sister and I have five of them. My dad, those are my dad's kids. So I fought a lot with them. We were constantly fighting. And now that we, don't worry. It's just a phase. It turns out it's just a phase. If you are in your 30s and you're still fighting, no, that's not normal. Because one thing I know is that my siblings and I fought a lot growing up. And then we reached a stage where we, interesting enough, all of a sudden we started respecting each other. Where the heck is this coming from? At first I was suspicious. Now all of a sudden they were showing respect, giving me water, and the water they were giving me did not have any salt in it or any dishwashing soap in it. Because growing up, I knew that if my sister is bringing me water, that's too suspicious. And they are giving me this water with a very, with a smirk in their face. There's something wrong with that water. I will go and get mine. And then something changed. We grew up. They are giving me water. And it tasting like water. It's not tasting like sun, like dishwashing sunlight. Some kind of tasteless, odorless poison in this cup. No, just respect you. You're a brother. I have been your brother my whole life. I know. Now I'm respecting you. When we were growing up, what was the point of respect? Family. more about family. It should also be differentiated from a kindred, which also, I just say kind. It's a, but then again, it's a British. Because, it turns out it's a whole different, you know, branch of family. May be divided into several households. Frequently, frequently, the family is not differentiated from a marriage pair, but essence of family group is the parent-child relationship, which may be absent from many marriage pairs. Nah, that's very Western. Socio-economic aspects of a family. Now, the socio-economic part is one that made me point out that strangers and family members both have their time to shine in your life. When you are alive, that's mostly, families also do shine, but that's mostly total strangers' time to shine, to dominate. It's not that your family don't shine. Your family do shine. It's just that they don't shine as bright as total strangers. Because more often they are getting on your nerves. But when you die, total strangers, you don't shine there. Mm-mm. If you listen to funeral songs, in the Mbukushu culture, mixed with Christianity, there's a specific song that goes something like, there's a specific song that is tailored to family in terms of who cries first and who cries last at a funeral. I know you're going to find this funny if you don't have a lot of Mbukushu friends or if you have not attended a Mbukushu funeral. At some point, someone decided to combine Mbukushu singing creativity with Christianity, and we came up with an excellent song. Excellent song for a funeral. I know it's an odd thing to say, but that song is an excellent song for a funeral. The way that it goes is the structure of the song is like this. If you go for a funeral and you are Mbukushu and someone there remembers that song, you're gonna love it. So you know when to cry. You know that a funeral is also a family gathering. So this is a gathering that is that has uncles, aunties, niece, nephews, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers. If you have, if your family is blessed with longevity, then you have great grandmothers and great grandfathers. So, to maintain crying order. Now, I know. To maintain crying order, every group must be given a chance to cry. You don't just cry anyhow. Mm-mm, no. You must wait for when the song, points at your relationship with the dearly departed, the poor dead guy who just kicked the bucket. Now, you have to wait for them. You have to wait for the song to say, if you are a cousin, for example, you have to wait for the part that says, and the cousins are crying. And when that part is over, they move on to say, for example, and the brothers are crying. Now, if you are a brother, that's when you cry. They start with the hanyinana wihe kuna kudira. That literally translates to the mother and father are crying. That's their part to cry. It's much catchier in Mbukushu. I don't know how to explain it in English. Anjinana wehe kuna kudira, eshimawe mwane tu. The mother and father are crying that, how do you say mawe mwane tu in, I don't think there's an English equivalent for that. Again, get yourself a Kavango friend, specifically Mbukushu. And then from that one, after anjinana wehe, the mother and father, you move to, Hairoyendi kuna kudira. Hairoyendi. Thiro means cousin. Now, that's the 10 for cousins to cry. Anjinana wihe kuna kudira. Eshimawe. Thiro the. Anjinana wihe kuna kudira. Eshimawe. Mwane. Mother and father is crying. The mother and father are crying that, mawe, our child. I can't explain mawe. Give me a break. I swear. I'm trying. And then from there you move to Hairoyendi. The cousins are crying. Hairoyendi kuna kudira, Eshima with Rothe to their cousins are crying Mawe, our cousin. If you are Kavango, you are thinking Makaranga right now and laughing, which means, you know, it's working. And then you shift Haminendi. Haminendi is, those are siblings, but, the younger ones. Brother and sister in the Bukushu culture is very specific in a sense that, Mina, that word, be careful with it also. Mina means to swallow and also means a younger sibling, not elder. Mukurwa means, sibling, but elder. Mukuru literally means, the same word that's used to mean adult or elder. Mukuru. I know that, Shiherero, now we are in church. Dono makeku mukuru. No, in Timbukushu, it's not very divine. It's very down low here. So, hakuruendi kuna kudira. If you hear hakuruendi kuna kudira, it's now your turn to cry as a sibling who is older than the dearly departed. And if you hear haminendi kuna kudira, now it's your turn to cry as a sibling younger than the dearly departed. See? One thing I like about the Mbukushu funerals, very specific. You don't just go around crying anyhow. So, if you find yourself in a relationship with Mbukushu, my poor girlfriend, if you find yourself in a relationship, okay, quick break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, I just took my break so that I can just laugh my lungs out, because now that I'm talking about my own culture and how funny things can be if you are new at a Mbukushu funeral and you hear that song. So, for those of you that find yourself in a relationship with Mbukushu, just some heads up. Fasten your seatbelt. When you show up there, you don't just cry anyhow. Mm-mm. Wait for your turn to cry. If you are just a friend, wait for the word hayendendi kuna kudira. Now that's your turn to cry. You can't be a friend and then you are crying on haminendi kuna kudira. Everyone will be like, don't you look a little older than the dead guy? No one is going to say that, little older than the dead guy. But, it's not going to give the same je ne sais quoi. The funny thing is the word je ne sais quoi literally means I don't know. So It's when you are trying to describe someone or something and you can't find the right words or the right way to express the description. But because you are more often overwhelmed by either the taste of the food or someone's, beauty. It's, throw in the whole, you know, it's not just the physical attribute. She's this certain je ne sais quoi. Really. It's amazing how we took the language of everyone that colonized us and called it romantic. Which is why I'm a Swahili guy. Oh, Russian. Oh, like that too. So, back to family. In a way that I'm not just, sitting here talking more about my culture. So, the nuclear versus extended family description. Let's dive a little bit into that. We've already established that a family goes beyond blood relations. There's also legal institutions forms family ties. Either by marriage, especially by marriage or adoption. The nuclear family versus the extended family. Now, this information turns out it's not easy to find. I was looking for a bunch of audios that I could use, but my God, a lot of people are just looking at it from a lot of angles. I could not just that could not fit in my show. So. One thing that's becoming more and more apparent about about the family with regards to the evolution that it's undergoing, or more like the transition that's undergoing, is that the more a country develops, the more extended, the more nuclear the family becomes, and that family structure has its own pros and cons. The advantages of a nuclear family that I pointed, the main advantage of a nuclear family that I pointed out earlier in the beginning of this show was that, living in an industrial society, because we don't live in an agrarian community anymore. Because more often, in an agrarian society, you're required to be, for the most part, for an extended period of time at one place farming. And when that soil, say, nutrients was exhausted, you packed your bags and packed everything that you, that was valuable to you. And then you just moved this, the whole family to a different location. But now, thanks to all the, thanks to modernity, you can't just be moving around, because, well, the Ministry of Works and Environment will be like, that's a national park, you can't live there. There's no time to run around and fighting for your life against lions. I don't want to do that. So now we live in a world where one that is more dependent on skills based means of providing for a family, as opposed to the traditional agriculture based providing for the family type of family structure, which made extended families make sense, because some of these large fields required a workforce, and you couldn't just go around hiring people to come and help you work, because you need money for that. Now there's something we call Njambi in my culture, and that has nothing to do with God. Njambi, I know that in some cultures that means God, but in some Bantu languages that means God, but in my language, Njambi is something that was practiced. I think it's something that's also is a culture that's slowly dying out. What would happen is you'd make containers, large containers of ipwera, what you know, our version of Othopa, if you're Herero, or Shikundu, if you're a Shuambo-speaking people, Shuambo-speaking person. You'll make those large buckets, or sometimes you'll make tombo, the alcohol beverage. You'd make that, or sometimes you'd make both. Sometimes you'd make both, and then invite the whole family. It was very common in either plowing or weeding. Then you invite the whole, not the whole family, the whole village to basically, help you, for one whole day. The whole village shows up to help you with the weeding process or with the plowing process. And then after that weeding or plowing process, you'd go home and just, relax and refresh with this, that's more of a culinary thank you they are giving you for helping them weed or helping them plow. But, that was not based on a monetary type of compensation, which is very common nowadays. Everything you do, you must take pieces of papers with either the founding father, Hendrik Witbooi, or the founding father, Hage and Bohamba on the same piece of paper, and then give that guy that's helping you. So, the extended family made a lot of sense in an agrarian society because it provided the workforce that was required in those large subsistence farming, which was like the main source of, the main source of food for the family. That's an extended family. But, now in an industrial society where, like I pointed out earlier, constant moving is required in terms of, where your company or where your line of work takes you, it's kind of difficult to keep uprooting an entire extended family from one place to another. Think about diplomats that are representing us in Ghana. How many relatives do you think they have here? Everyone. Wherever you find our embassy, the staff that you find in these embassies, how many family members do you think they have here at home and somewhere, and somewhere abroad? Now imagine all that, all those family members moving wherever they go with them. And imagine the amount of money the state will have to spend on one family, living in London. One family. How many staff do we have in that embassy? Now take those people and multiply them by the number of extended families they have. It's unsustainable. So, makes sense. But the thing about extended family is that, one negative part of extended family is that you don't have privacy. Anyone that have that grew up in extended family knows that you share a room with a lot of your niece and nephews and siblings. So privacy is more often out through the window. But you're not going to be bored because you always have. I mean, you're surrounded by people that are naturally designed to get on your nerves. Nuclear family is easy to move around with because more often you're just dealing with you, your wife, and the kids. You can just get an SUV. There are even family SUVs that are made these days. Just put everyone there and you're like, okay, you know what? Daddy got a new lucrative job somewhere in the south, so that's where we're going. Then you get a house and then, it's actually a logistical nightmare to move a nuclear family. Every family that has moved, and I think it was last year when I was, one family, of a close friend of mine asked us to help them move from Akahanja to Windhoek. Jesus. I looked at this and went like, holy cow. I'm not the one moving and I'm this exhausted. Now, imagine moving an extended family. That is going to be a logistical nightmare. the thing about a nuclear family now is it gets painfully lonely sometimes, especially for the kids, because nuclear family is based on a modern economic structure, which is based a skills-based economic structure. Everything needs money-based economic structure. You move from the north to the south. Now you need someone to, you know, now you need someone to stay at home. You need someone to take care of the kids. You need someone to watch the gate. You need a security guard. Now you have three people that you are paying. But now if you look at it from pre-industrial revolution type of economic model, who played these roles? It was more often family members that were, you know, if you are going somewhere to collect firewood or you are going to do laundry. And those of us that are from the 90s saw this happen. We were left with our uncles, aunties and nephews, aunties and niece, to watch us when our parents were away. I spent a great deal with my grandmother. There you go. You have grandparents were there. But now grandparents have to travel, a lot of kilometers to go and see their grandchildren, only to get there and find out that they only speak English and Afrikaans. And the food that grandma brought, they cannot eat any of it, let alone pronounce the traditional names. Culture is also one of those things that is now under threat. Because now you have, because of the constant moving in search of that greener pasture, the economic greener pasture, you throw in the cost of living. Both parents now need to work to provide for that family. Because both parents need to work to provide for that family, they are not spending a lot of time with the kids. And now it's either they must work hard enough to get a nanny, or a babysitter, or Nickelodeon is going to do the raising of those children. And then they grow up knowing Spider-Man, but they don't know a single thing about the folklore in their culture. But we do have folklore, folklores in our culture. A lot of it. They grow up knowing Spider-Man, and we keep blaming them. No, you don't know anything about your culture. Well, where did they grow up? How did they grow up? No, they grew up with just their parents. No, parents only came home in the evening, and they were too tired to tell them stories, assuming the parents even know any stories from their culture. They don't. Jack the Giant Slayer. And the Princess and the Monkey. Oh, that's my favorite. It's Indian. It's something that is worth noting that something is always going to change, and culture is one of those things that has actually changed. And yesterday I used language as an example in how it evolves over time. And one thing that I've also come to learn, and I think I've pointed out several times here, is that the folklores that are told in my language, that's the Mbukushu, not Kavango. By the way, Rukavango, there is no such thing as Rukavango. It's either you are speaking Kwangari, Mbukushu, Giriku, or aka Rumanyu, or Sambu. Throw Nyemba in that bucket. Rukavango. At this point, it's like saying, I totally understand this whole lumping of languages together, because we more often say, do you speak Chinese? You're going to have to be very specific. Mandarin or Cantonese? But, we have, basically, use the, now, do you speak English? I think, by adopting the, you know, the European way of describing people in Africa, we miss a lot of things because, it wasn't until I think I got to Windhoek that's when I realized that there are a lot of dialects in the Oshiwambo language. It's a, just a, do you speak Oshiwambo? Yeah, yes, but which one? So like, well, there's, okay, there's, yeah, well, there's Balanu, good times. And there's, there's Shimbalanu, there's Shindonga, Shikwanyama, then, hide your cell phones, KA, you know, Shinganjera. Do you speak Zambezian? Which one? I mean, Yei, Lozi, is it, Totela, I believe? Subia? Suvia. The B is a V. It's a whole Bantu thing. So, main pros and cons. One, extended family. You are never going to be bored because you have someone, you always have someone that will get on your nerves. Nuclear family. Well, easy to maintain, easy to move around with. It fits into modern, you know, modern economic model. Except the thing is, things happen in life. That's where, now, this, the part of things happen in life, that's where the extended family now thrives. Families can modernize resources really fast in an extended family. But in a nuclear family, that's very difficult. Because if all you had is two parents and you were the only child and something happened to one of them, oh boy, and things do happen in life, unfortunately. And you don't know if you have an uncle. And the thing is, for a lot of developing countries, which is where we find ourselves, we can't relate to some of these problems yet. But if you look at the industrial goals that we have set, because industrialization is one of those goals that we would like to achieve. If you look at the economic goals that we have set, industrialization is one of those goals that we have, that we'd like to achieve. And, you know, we're looking at developed countries and going like, we want to leave that economic level of development. We want to leave that, you know, that diplomatic military level of development. But the thing is, that economic model comes with a very nuclearized family to the point where, in a lot of developed countries, people are dying lonely because, well, they, like, they literally have no one apart from colleagues at work. They don't have a lot of people in their lives in the very same way that you and I have our extended family members here, which is something that I feel like we are not appreciating enough. The fact that we still have a significant, degree of extended families spread all across the continent. And, the way things shift is very easy because you have to understand that a lot of developed countries that are very nuclearized in terms of family structures now, they were also extended, they were extended at some point. But, the modern economic model and, made them, redefine family to mean mother, father and child and a few uncles. And the interesting thing is we have stretched the meaning of the word uncle to include total strangers. Someone is your neighbor, then all of a sudden uncle. No, don't get me wrong. I enjoy being called uncle. My landlord's relatives, the very young, very cute kids, you know what they call me? Uncle. Like, that's awesome. Really awesome. Feels nice because, be called an uncle. So I'm practicing my uncle skills right now. Eish, well, thing is being uncle is very, 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 very kuraf being uncle. So nuclear versus extended family, looking at it from developed countries. And this is my favorite country, was that? United States. In the United States and elsewhere in Western world, family structure considered to be the standard is the so-called nuclear family. This is two married parents with children. However, the actual percentage of children who grew up in the sort of families is not nearly as high as we might think. Now, in 1970s, the percentage of household in the U.S. that fit this description was 40%. But as of 2021, that percentage is now at 17%. So in Eastern cultures, particularly in Asia, there is a throw Africa in that bucket. Particularly in Asia, there is less focus on immediate family unit and more multi-generational cohabitation. Well, unlike in the West, marriage is marriage in these countries does not necessarily create a separate household. This is something that we have adopted, the separate household part. In a lot of Eastern cultures, especially most parts of Asia, and those of you that have watched Z-World, you know, must have seen this, because you see that when a couple get married, they live in the same house with the parents of is it the husband or the wife? No, the husband. That's the part that gets most women go like, yo, heck no. Now the thing is, even before we adopted the modern nuclear family, the thing is, culturally, I know that in my culture, even before the Western influence of a modern family structure, the way it was done is, I will be living in my family's homestead. As soon as I get married, I have to build my separate homestead away from my parents' homestead. Not far, just close enough. And I'm free to move my homestead wherever I want to move it to. It doesn't matter how far. It turns out in a lot of Asian countries, they've been doing it, and it's culturally for them. They've been doing it the opposite of what we have here. That as soon as even when you're married, you live in the same house with your in-laws. I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't think I can pull that off. First of all, my sarcasm is going to get me. Is going to make people increase the lobola price very fast. And this is something that I always tell people about, about comedians, right? You only have to understand we are not funny on purpose. No. It's a defense mechanism. Every time that we find ourselves in an emotionally tight situation, we run straight into sarcasm. Makes us sort of like try to strategize to try to figure out how to deal with the situation better. You know, while when you are just all rolling on the floor laughing there, I'm trying to work out what's going on here. So next time you see a comedian on stage and they're cracking their best jokes, you have to understand that maybe, you know, they could be going through a lot of things. Please check up on them. Now, the idea of a nuclear family, where does this nuclear family, because extended family is very natural. This is something that you find all across a lot of cultures across the planet. A nuclear family, on the other hand, came in post-industrial revolution. Because now industries were being made and people needed to make money to provide for the family, as opposed to farming to provide for the family. So making money means working for employers. Employers had different branches scattered across the country, so that means moving was required from time to time. And as a breadwinner, it's hard to move the entire extended family structure from one place to another. In the current economic structure that we live in, extended family makes a lot of sense, except extended family, like any type of family structure, has its own pros and cons, lonely being one of them. You have families that are, you know, you have families that are, you know, with kids that are being raised by teachers and Nickelodeons. Because when they come home, more often when they come home, they don't find anyone at home. Because mom is at work, dad is at work. He just said, give the keys to the neighbor and then tell that very wonderful, nice neighbor that when the kids come, please open for them and then give them the keys. I'm off to work. I'll be back at 5. And you have already given them instructions and these are the emergency contacts. And please don't set the house on fire. And you make sure you disconnect and switch off all the electrical appliances because, kids are just kids. Tell them, as soon as you get home, please just don't break stuff down and, watch TV and just, warm your food in the microwave and sleep. So they know their phones more than they know their uncles as a result. Unfortunately. And when uncles do visit, they are more often a nuisance. When are you going? The bills, the water bills. I mean, we're not saying that you are LGBTQ, but you are sharing a whole lot for an uncle. If you're an auntie, you would totally understand. You don't have to die in that closet, uncle. You can just come out. Say that in a black culture, there'll be funeral in that home. The idea of a nuclear family derives from modern Europe. Again, where did most of the Christmas rituals that we talked about yesterday originate from? Now, when a family member was married, and their spouse would be considered to be part of a new household separate from their parents. The fact that Europe's newlyweds, aka the couples, that just got married, newlyweds would need to support a separate household also meant that they needed sufficient wealth to do so. And this in turn pushes up the average age of marriage. Yeah. And the average age of marriage have been, it has been rising. There are kids that I watched. My cousin and I were talking yesterday. And she's a teacher. She's just decided to, come and chill in winter for some reason. We're talking about the kids that we literally watched grow up. I'm talking to my mom this other time, and she was in the middle of a conversation. She's talking about mentions a name and says this guy's this person's wife, and I'm like, hang on a second, don't I remember that kid? And my mom was like, oh, yeah, he's married now. I'm like, huh? Civil marriage? No, traditional marriage, but he's married now. I'm just looking at his wife and his kid. I'm like, yeah? You okay? Yeah. And now in Timbuktu, that's where I like to say, no, don't worry. I'm right behind you. Just go ahead. I'm right behind you. So, in a lot of, now, this is, one thing that you see is that a lot of people that are exposed to the urban life, a lot of them are delaying marriage. A lot of people that are in mostly the rural areas and, still hold this, traditional way of doing things. They are just getting married a bit traditionally, just like that. They start having kids, and then they start farming and stuff. But for anyone that has been exposed to urban life, and they are seeing the trajectory that the country's economy, basically global economy, is headed, they're delaying marriage. Two, when they decide to get married, most of them are deciding not to have kids. And those that are deciding to have kids are not having more than two. This is why the UN projected the size of a household to decline by 2050. So that means by the year 2100, don't worry if you are listening, that's the least of our worry. I mean, we're going to be dead. It's either you're going to be dead or you're going to be too old to understand what's going on around you anyway. By that, you know, by the year 2100, family is going to be one of those things that, you know, I think Namibia is going to be having problems that countries like Japan and South Korea are having with regards to family, where they, you know, some parts of Japan, I think that was either last year or early this year when they had to close down schools. Entire villages are disappearing because people don't want to have kids anymore. And you can't blame them. It's the cost of living. The cost of living alone is insanely expensive alone. And then you get married. And you both have to work so much, you barely have time for each other. And you wonder why the divorce rates are going through the roof. But you know one thing I find really dumb? Even with that realization, people still borrow money to get married. I'm like, you guys can rule Russia. You guys can survive a nuclear weapon. If you can survive borrowing money to get married, now you have to put in the extra time to service that debt and try to buy a house and try to buy a car and have kids. You are okay. 18 minutes past the hour of 9, if you just tuned in, this is The Time Machine with yours truly, Helmed. We're going to dive into more of the perspective on a nuclear family and why it's actually coming. Because if you look at, you can just look at this from by comparing our 2011 to 2020, to our 2023 population statistics. When the NSA does these statistics, they usually do, head count. I'm not sure if head count is the right word to use, but, population count and also household statistics. One thing I found fascinating that I did not actually realize that it speaks louder to the family more than I thought. I initially thought was that in 2011 statistics, there were less households compared to the 2023. Namibia has had less households then than now, according to the comparison between 2011 and 2023 statistics. But something that happened is that, the households in 2011 statistics, they had more members. There were more members per household back then. But there were not many households, but the few households that were counted in 2011 statistics, Namibia's population statistics, the few households had more members per household. They had more people, basically. Fast forward to 2023, the households have, there were few households, but more members per household in 2011. 2023 statistics proved, showed that, there were more households, but few family members per household. You know what that indicates? We are on a slippery slope down the nuclearized family structure. And that nuclearized family structure is something, is something that we should actually prepare for because it's coming with its own pros and cons. Some of the pros of a nuclear family is that it's, as long as you just keep pretending like there are not a lot of people, like you don't have an extended family. A nuclear family is very easy to take care of in modern economy, because modern life is very expensive. So if you have a wife and two kids, a kid or two, it's difficult, but not as difficult as it would be taking care of the entire extended family. So financial wise, it makes a lot of sense in the 21st century to root for a nuclear family. But company wise, in terms of the epidemics that we are dealing with, that we're dealing with, that is more prevalent in a lot of developed countries, like what's very common in a lot of Western countries, like the loneliness epidemic, the homeless epidemic. Also, fasten a seatbelt with that. And you throw in the whole rural to urban migration. Totally. You begin to realize that homelessness is not really a common thing in Africa. Why? It's because we have these things called villages. If I come in Windhoek and things are not working out, I'm not going to sleep in the street. I'll just hustle for transport money and go to the village. But the villages are one of those things that's actually, from the look of things, slowly being phased out, because everyone wants to live the convenience of an urban society. You know, you don't want to walk a long distance to go and fetch water. You don't want to walk a long distance to go and collect firewood. You just want to access all these things within walkable distance. You want to drink water, go to the kitchen. You want to cook something, you just walk in the kitchen, turn on the stove, and then, well, Bobby's your uncle. Because of that, now, look at the factors at play here. Rural to urban migration means people are more attracted to the urban lifestyle, and urban lifestyle is expensive. So that's a very straight up push, is straight into a nuclear family type of structure. Nuclear family type of structure is that we only go home during the holidays and then meet our very big families once a year, which is why I don't think we are giving ourselves credit enough, because we still have, to a very large degree, extended family practices. But we can see that there is a slow though it may be, a transition from an extended family structure to a nuclear family structure, and which again they both have their pros and cons. Nuclear family structure gets very lonely. And when you find yourself in a gem, it's going to be bad. Take something simple as helping each other, for example. One thing about the village is that, if you run out of salt, you go to your house, to your neighbor's house and say, everyone that grew up at the village knows that you are sent to the neighbor to go and ask for salt or maize meal or an axe or a knife all the time. In winter, if your knife breaks, you have to go and buy yours. My friend told me an interesting story. His friend, he was at home and someone... well, came to borrow his hair clipper. Now, that someone came with came with hair extensions, and homeboy was wondering, okay, if you have hair extensions and you're borrowing my hair clipper, I have so many questions. So many questions.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana kono nongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito tanjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda do inawa nune udo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejepa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear.
Welcome back. A thousand apologies for that. That was France. I just, almost murdered. So, moving on. The exact reason or reasons for the emergence of this sort of family, aka extended family, are not entirely clear. All they just had to do was ask me. It's more often The transition is mostly attributed. The transition from the traditional extended to the modern nuclear family is more often attributed to cost of living. In countries like the US, for us it's a cost of living. But in countries like the US, for a large part of the the 1950s, 1960s. It was a suburban lifestyle was marketed a little too good, if you ask me. So a lot of people shifted from extended families to nuclear families because of they wanted to live that soft suburban lifestyle, which is very expensive to live with an extended with a nuclear family, let alone an extended family. So the exact reason or reasons for the emergence of this sort of family structures are not entirely known. All they had to do was ask me. But one theory is that the church vehement position to arrange marriage meant potential partners had more options. that's not my favorite part. Now, in non-Western cultures, that's my favorite part because that includes Africa. In non-Western cultures, it is more common to see multiple generations all living under one roof. Elders will be cared for by the younger generations, and the very young will be cared for by the elder generations. So this is symbiotic. This is not a food chain. Symbiotic relationship. You help me, I help you, type of relationship. So you had like a babysitting babysitting is more often done by was and is more often done by relatives, especially the elderly in extended families. And when those people that are babysit, they grow up. When they get the age where they are old enough to take care of themselves, the elderly that were taking care of them needs taking care of, and they take care of them. This actually explains why we don't have things like family homes. It's a very new concept for us. Not family homes, elderly homes. One thing I know for sure is that no matter how old my dad gets, I don't think I'll be brave enough to bring up the idea of, can I take you to a family home? Because he's going to murder me. Because he'll just say, okay, you know what, just take me to the village. Problem solved. And he's already at the village. Family home, elderly home. That's how you start World War III with an African family. Now, elders, the reasons behind some of the advantages now of extended family. Elders will be cared for by the young generation, and the very young will be cared for by the older generation. Now, this is compared to the common practice in Western or in the west of shipping elders off to retirement homes. Those are the, you know, the elderly homes. In this way, this arrangement has its own perks, but its own perks, aka advantages. But the system also has its own downside, aka disadvantages. This system is based on male inheritance, which means that the structure is still very patriarchal. When a father dies, the brother will assume control of the family from this, from within the same household. In a lot of cultures, it turns out. This is the part of me that makes me go, thank God that culture has changed. In some cultures, the African continent, I think I have a sneaky, I'm not sure, I have to confirm that, but I think it was practiced in mine at some point a very long time ago, that family meant everything. Family meant everything. So if I have an older brother, and he's married and he's taking care of the family, and he dies, then I have to take over his family. That includes his wife. About that. How the heck am I supposed to switch from sister-in-law to sweetheart? That's one very mentally disturbing transition. Because for the no, he and then nope, no, absolutely not. So now the kids have to move from uncle to dad. But the thing is, in my culture, we have the word uncle, but it's my uncles, for example, my uncles in my culture, my uncles are my mother's brothers. My father's brothers are not my uncles. That's how things works in the Hambukush culture. My uncles are my mother's brothers. Those are my uncles. My mother's sisters. Those are my aunties. But my father's brothers, those are not my uncles, and my father's sisters are not, they are not my aunties. We have something that is, that I've come to learn is not found in the English culture, so I can only translate it literally. All my mother's brothers, I call them uncles. That's where, that word that every non-Kavango knows, Tamwa. Tamwa. That's what I call them. All of them, Tamwa. All my mother's sisters, yeah. Actually, I switched it. All my mother's brothers, I call them Tamwa, that means uncle. All my mother's sisters, I call them Naweana. That literally translates to younger mother. Like your mother, but younger. Naweana, everyone who is younger than my mom, I call them Naweana, which means younger mom. Like literally translates to younger mom. And everyone who is my mother's sister and they are older, they're older than my mom, I call them Namkuru, which means elder mom. It's something that's makes sense in Thimbukushu. Doesn't make sense in English. Because, well, English, Europe, Thimbukushu, Africa, two different, land masses, two different continents, literally. So, all my father's brothers, I call them Tatiana, Tatiana, that's literally translates to younger father. Tatemkuru, older father. It's a complete flip. But no, it can make your brain spin if you are not Mpukushu or you don't have any you are not exposed to the culture. And all the female siblings, my dad's female siblings, those are my aunties. Let me explain that again, because there's some degree of a reverse to it, which can be very confusing. My mom's siblings, the male ones are uncles. I call them Tamwa. My dad's siblings, the female ones, I call them aunties. My mom's female siblings are not my aunties. They are my mom's. My dad's male siblings are not my uncles. They are my dad's. My dad's older siblings, I call them Tate Mkuru, older dad. My dad's younger male siblings, I call them Tatiana, younger dad. And then the female siblings of my dad, those are my aunties, like all of them, just put them in one basket, aunties. My mom's siblings, the male ones, uncle, all of them, put them in one basket, uncle, all of them. But the female, my mom's female siblings, the older one, now Mkuru, older mom, the younger ones, now one, younger mom. Welcome to the confusion. It's tradition. It's something you are born into. So it's perfectly normal with you. But it turns out, in the English culture, it's mom, dad, uncle. It's just mom, dad. The rest is just uncle and cousins. And now at this point, you're asking that if it's like that, then which ones are your cousins? Oh no, that's where it becomes, awesome. Both the kids of the siblings of both my parents are my, they are both my cousins. Now, way back then. When we're living in those villages that were like 100 kilometers away from each other, if I had to choose a wife, I would have to get from a wife from my mother's side of the family. Those cousins that are on my mother's side of the family, those are the ones that I have to pick a wife from. Now that I just say that out loud, I'm going, eh. Because I know these rascals. Those will be weapons formed against you. I really hope they are not listening because they would murder me after this. Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
How's the morning?
It's fine, man.
Please pass the plate.
Yeah, how is that side?
Family day is so far so good.
Family day is so far so good, man.
Mm.
Family, what they call it? Family giving us a what? Something like that.
When
they are sharing the gift and a turkey.
Knowing families, they are exchanging insults more than they are exchanging gifts.
I'm telling you, these days are so many, even brothers and sisters, they are just some jealous going on, and there are just too many things.
Families also, especially the elders, make it worse, because when a lastborn has an iPhone, he's treated like the firstborn.
That's the thing.
Because as a firstborn, just because you have a katosh, all of a sudden, everyone is like, not that one. They're even telling you to keep quiet so the lastborn can talk.
I can talk, yeah. You see now, those are the problem I think we create.
Yeah.
You are talking about the nuclear family and the extended family.
Yeah.
I think in African culture was good. We never had homeless before the European and the American show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think we are even doing worse because now we are extending it to the village to become town.
Yeah.
And most people, they find it themselves were homeless.
Yeah, we're just organizing everything.
Yeah, exactly. Then this is a problem. If you go to America, there are people who are just born in what? In caravan. What do you call this?
Like a trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, that thing one. Which, up to now, I'm telling you that person just gives that life. Even in marketing life, is moving around the whole America. From Los Angeles to Chicago to, you name it. Just like that.
Just driving.
But wherever you find the parking slot, is sleeping there.
Ish.
And this was not our thing. Just imagine. The moment that you don't have anything anymore in America, you find yourself homeless. Let them say we're not working. But anyway, they're having something like a grand. They are, at least they are better than us here.
Don't they have what they call food stamps or something? Or did they?
Yeah. Where they are getting something. Even though you're not working. Yeah, allowance.
Yeah, but I think this is where family now comes in because it's more than just the, being fed because, now that you have eaten, do you have anyone to talk to?
I don't know which country is where.
So it becomes very depressing.
You have to pay a friend. You have to pay a person to be your friend.
Hey! Which?
I don't know which country.
Which country is that? Because I think I will make a lot of money in that country.
I'm telling you, I think there is, I don't know, but I think it's in Asia.
Because my friends are stingy, these guys.
I'm telling you, a person has to pay you just to be a friend. Because like, you know, this escort, in your level of what you are doing in Namibia.
Yeah.
This is very different from Kalahari. But anyway, we are doing it in a diplomatic level in our Namibia side. I think in Europe it's happening. In England, Germany, you name it, America.
I'm beginning to think the more a country develops before, I think it's something that comes with development.
Yeah.
Development.
This person for the whole night pretending even to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend or
I think that's Japan. There's one American comedian.
It's a Japan man.
There's one American comedian Japan. That went there to they went there and hired a whole family, including a father-in-law.
I'm telling you, private dinner just people to be around you. Yeah. This is happening. In the reality, it is happening. Because you remember one thing that you destroyed the foundation where people used to gathering and do things.
Yeah.
You destroyed it's like a culture. You destroy the culture and the humanity which come with. Because now remember, look at the bottle crane window today.
Mm-hmm.
Or ours bridge. Then look how the guys build up their house. Big wall, we cannot even exchange the words like a good morning. Yeah? I'm telling you, you never know that your neighbor needs to be dead for 8 months ago.
You just be complaining. Ah, what's that smell? Is your neighbor?
Neighbor is gone. Man, I don't know what really happened to us.
We are exchanging emotional and mental comfort for physical comfort. And one thing we can see from developed countries is that a lot of them have attained some degree of this physical comfort where they have everything within reach, convenience of suburban and urban life. But then, the emotional and mental, discomfort that's coming with that is bringing up this whole mental health, discussion.
Exactly. Because now, remember when you say you are lonely?
Yeah.
It always creates a lot of what? Even your diseases, you can able to get a lot of diseases. Heart, blood pressure, you name it, heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. they can come on because you are stressed.
Yeah, you are constantly thinking. I mean, you have everything, you know, at least
according to
you,
you
have
like
everything,
everything, but yeah, material-wise, you can talk to anybody in TikTok or whatever,
but
you're still lonely, my friend. Just like a woman. A woman tell you, no, my husband is my degree. Once she hit the stage of 7, 5 day, she's running around, my friend. Even come to Tula Boys now.
Ladies, that was Mandume, not me.
She's moving up like, Tula Boys to accompany. That's the problem. In life,
we are not solitary. Yeah, we are not solitary creatures. We need, we need company.
We need company, No matter what you say, I'm, my degree is my husband. And later on, when you reach that stage,
not even want, need.
But remember that we are in family giving.
Happy family day, man.
Yeah, family dinner today.
Yeah.
I'm listening, my brother.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. Everything that we are going to add, everything that we are going to adopt is going to have its own pros and cons, whether we like it or not. And one thing, the way that life works generally is that you can choose how you are going to act. You can choose what to adopt. You don't choose consequences, directly. We choose consequences indirectly. The actions you choose is going to come by default with specific consequences. If you pick good actions, they are going to, by default, 99% of the time, going to come with positive consequences. You choose positive actions, they are most likely they're not going to come with positive consequences. But you choose negative actions. You can't choose negative actions and start saying things like, why is this happening to me? It's by default, Baba. It happens. You choose negative actions, negative consequences come. You can't pick robbing banks as a career, or robbing people's houses, or robbing people as a career. And then when you get shot, you're asking, God, why me? Oh, come on. Oh, well, you chose to be a thief. It's an occupational hazard. Thieves get shot. You can't say that. No, you have never been robbed. If you're one of those people that say, no, you can't do that. Just fire a warning shot. You have never been robbed. Clearly, you have never been robbed, because one of the things that motivate people to do that is, when these squads break into your house, the level of mercilessness they come with is what forces people to do that. So a lot of people that have never found themselves in that situation, those are the people that start going, no, why did he do that? No, believe me. These guys are coming with pangas and knives. What do you think is their intention? To come and kill you, and you are obligated by Mother Nature and by the law that if you are threatened, if your life is threatened, it's better his life than yours. There's a reason why it's called self-defense, and that's not a constitutional thing. No, that's a natural thing. When your life is threatened, it's your natural right to defend yourself. And when you're a breadwinner, it's your natural right to defend your family. And actually, attacking someone's family, that's the worst thing you can do. That's especially for a man, because my gender knows that we run on ego. It's a natural protective, you know, it's a natural family protection instinct. You touch a man's family, oh boy, there is no amount of laws that are going to protect you. In fact, you know that judge that's telling you to follow the law, touch his family and he's the one that's going to shoot you. Just touch his family. It's a natural protective instinct. Even that thief that's robbing you, after he robs you, just touch his family. Just touch his family. And see problemos. Quick break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuan unongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka okukwetida oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetida o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa ninge kwa Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honore Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Murahetatu Natu, Bali or Hetatu Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 8 minutes left to the hour of 10. Almost forgot. I can't believe. These are the things I don't usually forget. This is how you know that we are growing. We are growing. I don't usually forget Fridays, and it turns out now I did. I just forgot Friday. So just how modern is the modern family? This is your nuclear family. Today, according to the Cambridge guys, today the small nuclear family dominates across much of the world. Following World War II, this prevailing family form was associated with modernity, the product of a post-industrial society. Let's just industrialize and live a very comfortable lifestyle where we can afford all these type of things that makes our life convenient, which makes sense because nuclear family is easy to maintain. It's easy to maintain in this modern world, but an extended one. A nuclear family is difficult to maintain, let alone an extended one, which is making people shift in family isolation, where when one of them that can afford bologna comes out, they forget that they have siblings, and then they just meet someone's daughter, then start have their own kids, and never call or go back home again. There's just one problem. Things happen, and it does happen. You find yourself in a situation where you are really sick. You better hope you didn't marry a slay queen who will say, "Oh, sweetheart, here is coffee. Then next thing you know, you're kicking the bucket and she's like, "All right, here comes the money." It also happens the other way around, by the way. If anything happens to you, you better hope you did not marry, Vrupa boys, because the moment you fall sick, it's like, "All right, I've been planning on buying a boat." But if you look at the insurance money, I think it's enough for me to remarry, get a house, and just buy a comfort car for the child. I think I've watched one too many American, investigation discovery documentaries. Because the way couples kill each other for insurance money, makes you go, You know, this whole marriage thing, maybe it's not mine. I think I'll just, I'll just chill. Couples kill, parents kill their kids. Kids kill their parents for insurance money. Welcome to the modern family. You. So, just how modern is the modern family? I have 5 minutes. Immediately after World War II, decades of the Cold War era, decades of the Cold War era, modernization theory provided crucial conceptual underpinning which justified the US-led West in believing it had a self-appointed mission to bring liberal democracy and its capitalist vision of development to the world to the world's new post-colonial nations, aka Namibia. And this was exacerbated after the fall of the Soviet Union, because now the US, the US did not have a competitor. And this happens in the, this happens in the history of empires. When an empire rises, it more often have, has a competitor where they have this tit for tat type of diplomatic and economic exchange, and most of which leads to a bunch of small guys being caught in a crossfire. And what that leads to is that when the competitor to an empire falls, that empire goes on a rampage of whatever it is that it wants to, whatever ideology that it wants to spread. In a lot of parts in Western Europe, in a lot of parts of Eastern Europe, the Soviet Union made sure that everyone believed communism was the way to go. Capitalism, no go. And now you have the complete opposite. You have the, the West, running around the world, policing the whole world, telling them that, socialism and communism, those things don't work. Capitalism is the way to go. But then again, all these systems, and I don't understand why people, debate over which economic system is better, actually. All these systems don't mean crap if you have terrible people in power. Capitalism is good. Open market economy, excellent. But the thing is, they forget to account for one fundamental flaw to that system. Human nature. Human nature is a flaw to all systems you're going to adopt. Monarchy, there's nothing wrong with monarchy. Human nature equals greed. That's why they were hoarding all kinds of resources. And I like how they made it look like, how they made colonialism look like it's a race thing. It wasn't. It wasn't black versus white. It was just a high class versus low class. Australia, for the millionth time, Australia was a prison colony. Who were the main prisoners? Who were the prisoners? They were white. What was the difference between the prisoners that were shipped there and the people that did the shipping? Economic means. You had a bunch of white people that had hoarded all the resources from Europe, and the resources that they were stealing outside Europe, they kept it for themselves. That division in class and economic disparity led to a lot of people doing a lot of questionable things in order to survive. As a result, they were branded not fit for society and literally put on ships and literally shipped off to Australia. That's one of those things that, that's one of my favorite Jewish historian, Ian Pape, argues that Israel exists today in the form that it is because Europe could not deal with its own racism. after World War II, Europe is big. They could have just said, okay, you know what? Let's just live together with the Jewish people. Nope. They were like, yeah, nope. We are going to live together with Jews, but not in Europe, please. They decided to literally put them on ships and literally again ship them off to modern day Palestine. They just told them, you know what? You know what was the genius part about that? They used their religious book against them. That's the analysis of Ian Pape, by the way. If you don't know who that is, maybe you don't like history. I do. So, I think it's safe to say that Australia and Israel have one thing in common. They are both a result of Europe's racism. The Europeans are like, Australia is not as a result of racism. That was classism. Israel, on the other hand, I totally agree with Ian Pape and this one. That's just pure racism. They could have just said, okay, you know what, let's live together in harmony. Let's live together with the Jewish community here on a wonderful continent. They were like, yeah, nope. You know, the British were like, didn't I read somewhere in this good book that these guys have a promised land somewhere? How about we just ship them there? Oh, no, but it's occupied. Well, there are people living there. You know? They're called Palestinians. Like, well, it doesn't matter. Just take them there and tell them that God said this is yours. And do anything to get it. Now there's genocide. You know? I never thought of it that like that. And my favorite part is the historical analysis is coming from a Jewish historian. Two minutes past the hour of 10. Un momento, si vous plaît. Come back on the other side. We sign out and then I will wish you a good Friday. But after the break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back and again, happy family day. And if you are already mad at your uncle, auntie, cousin, niece, brother, sister, don't worry. It's part of every family. At this point, I know you are thinking, oh, maybe if I was in that family, things would be different. Yeah, no. That's one of those lies we tell ourselves, even when you are in an intimate relationship and you get into a fight and you are mad at each other like crazy. You start thinking, you are with Amanda, right? And you get into a fight and you were this close to ending up with Elisa. And you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe if I was with Elisa, things would be different. It doesn't matter whether you're with Amanda, Elisa, Rebecca, you'd still be thinking the same thing. You'd get in an argument and start thinking, maybe things would be different with Elisa. If you were with Elisa, and you get into a fight with Elisa, you'd still be going, maybe things would be different with Amanda. Disputes are going to arise. Settle them. You fight with your siblings. Believe me, you are going to fight with your madam. Just don't make it Mike Tyson type of fight. Disagreements, point of correction, not fights. Disagreements. There are going to be disagreements. With that, enjoy family day. And if you are far like me, there's this thing called cell phone. Use it. Until Sunday. You all have a blessed weekend.